most people are going that way. And
you got a word there, Andre? You got a word?
Well, you know, I was reading through Deuteronomy, and, you know, I pick a book, I was going to do Genesis again, and I said, you know, I'm just going to read through Deuteronomy, and because it's a rehashing of all the books that has gone before.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, you know, here I'm reading, and I'm reading, and I'm reading, and I go, what am I getting out of this, Lord? I said, you know what? According to Deuteronomy, nothing has changed compared to today. We are still a stiff-necked people.
Yes, we are.
Stubborn. And if the Lord told you to do the right thing, why don't you?
Because we're very hard-headed.
Or soft-heeled.
We only learn the hard way.
There you go.
There you go, son.
You know, so do we really have to suffer the consequences of sin in order to say, I read it, I didn't believe it, and now I'm paying the price?
Man's problem is the same problem as a child. You tell a child, don't touch the stove, it's hot. Don't touch the stove,
first
it's hot. First time he touches the stove, guess what? He never touches it again, because it's hot. We have to touch whatever it is. We have to get burnt. We have to get hurt. Then we learn the lesson.
There's a difference, though.
Really?
In our days growing up, parents went ahead and let us touch that stove if we didn't want to. Nowadays, they'll bring you up on charges if you let the kid touch the stove or whatever.
You sure you didn't put the kid's hand on the stove?
No, even if the kid accidentally does that or whatever like that, or purposely does that or whatever.
That's a whole different set of problems, but I was just making a point.
Yeah, but I mean,
some reason we only learn lessons the hard way. God didn't mean it that way. He's got Proverbs. It's full of wisdom. You know what I mean? I read them every day. But how do I learn something? Doing stupid stuff. You know. It don't have to be that way.
You could really appreciate the New Testament that Jesus poured out mercy and grace without measure. Now, how about if we did that for one another?
We're supposed to.
We could change the world.
We're supposed to, that's right.
Yeah.
And again, the experiential part of doing that, and how many times have you read, judge not lest you be judged, right? And you go, okay, the Bible declares that if you see a brother going wrong, go and warn him. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Not in judgment,
right,
but in grace,
love.
Really. Because, you know, the... right. And the love of God really continues to work in us a good work. And that's why, you know, it's not the failure that occurs in our lives that is the problem. It's the misunderstanding that God has forgiven you. Now, like the word metanoia, repent, change your ways. Okay. Maybe you didn't die. Maybe you didn't effectively suffer a consequence. But do you really want to continue and go that way and suffer that consequence? There's this lady who preaches to 500,000 kids a year in the school systems, and the school systems want her to come in, and she talks about, hey, the only safe sex is sex between two married people, okay? That what? Obviously, were waiting for each other. And she goes, you know, back when I was a kid, and she does no notes, she just talks. She goes, back when I was a kid, we had four diseases. Okay. He says, today, it's 31. And there's a good chance, even one time, if the other person had multiple partners, you got one of these that you will have forever. And it's like, oh man, I don't like that story, you know? And you go, well, how come you're still dunking then, you know? And because you don't believe? And so how many times we read in the scriptures that, you know, don't, why? Because, and we still don't believe. Now, when I was a kid, I didn't know nothing about the Word of God. Didn't know nothing about Christmas was Jesus' birthday. That's all I knew. I didn't, you know, had no respect in a way that he would speak forth something. And it didn't even have to be questioned. It was just true. And so often, like in today's society, somebody would say something, but. And it's interesting that when you read through the Word, it just is. You don't even have to question. Is it right or true? Because God is truth. The problem with truth is you don't like it. And it because, and I really believe that that's what Americans have suffered through, because they don't want Jesus because he judges their morality. And let's face it. Do you have a dirty thought yet? I don't know if I can claim not being guilty of that already at 7 o'clock in the morning, you know? And so what has to happen to my mind, Lord?
No, that's not you.
Continue washing. Continue helping. Continue. And it's not the thought, but it's the consummation that'll get you in trouble. God can forgive, but the consequences often come. Now you have to deal with the consequences.
I like R.W. Shambach's explanation of a bad thought. It's like a bird landing on your head. You don't let it sit there and make a nest.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But, you know, every one of us have a struggle. And it's probably different. You know, which one is better or which one is worse? You know, when Paul said, I asked 3 times of the Lord to remove this thing from me, and what did he say?
My grace is sufficient.
My grace is sufficient for you. Why? Because it's almost that very thorn in your side, that goad, is the very thing that brings me to the place, Jesus, I need you. Again. You know, I need you again. So none of us around the table can, you know, qualify for a guiltless life. We can point to the one who is guiltless. But and then what happens in that, you find not only mercy for yourself, but mercy for other people. Which I thought was like, you know, oh, I used to beat people up with the gospel when I was a young Christian. And now I want to love them into the kingdom.
That's the only thing that really works.
I want to witness my life.
I was one of them you used to beat up.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I run away, but now I understand. had the Holy Spirit, you know, and the nervous breakdown, and I was reduced to nothing. And I realized that God and Jesus, it was the only thing that all, everything else is temporary.
Amen.
You know? So then I was able to. It didn't convict me. It convicted me far as in my mind and my spirit, but I didn't run. So I know I'm doing wrong. When you're doing wrong, you're doing wrong.
Yeah, you know it. Nobody can tell you. You know
right.
In your heart of hearts.
But, you know, you tend to hide it. You tend to.
Oh, you try to.
Yeah. But now, you know.
Well, how about having a good reason?
Well,
I have a good reason.
I did it for my kids, you know, for my wife.
You know what a reason?
Two wrongs don't make a right.
For the families. I mean,
but three rights make a left.
You heard what an excuse is, right? You heard the definition
more right
of an excuse.
You start over.
Andre, you heard the definition of an excuse, right? A skin of a reason wrapped in a lie.
Deception.
That's what we do. We make excuses. Well, Lord, I did that because of this. And we can't con God. We try to con ourselves, which really, at the end of the day, when you're standing there looking in the mirror, you know you're lying. And why not just deal with it right off? You know what I mean? It saves ourselves so much grief. But we usually dance around that issue for however long till finally we get smacked right between the eyes, and you got to deal with it then. There's no more running away or sweeping it under the rug or, you know.
Or we tend to think that we know better than God, or we can fix it ourselves, or whatever like that. The reason
I got this one.
His example of having four of those nasty diseases when we were growing up, and now there's 31 of them, is all because we thought we knew better than God, and we can fix that. We just give everybody antibiotics before they go misbehave or whatever like that. Put it in our meat. Put it in our Let's just treat the disease before we have it. And then when we get a super strain of it, it says, these antibiotics are nothing now, man, or whatever. We don't understand why. Oh, gee, how did that happen? How do I have an incurable skin disease, or how do I have an incurable blood disease, or whatever? And now I'm begging God to take care of it for me, because I got antibiotics in my cow, I got antibiotics that I just pop myself, like vitamins or whatever like that. I give them to my kid before he goes to school. First thing I hang around these young moms, and the first thing they do when the kid has a sniffle, they'll call the doctor and say, "Can I just go pick up some antibiotics from the CVS?"
They tell you that, don't.
Can I just get some? Let the cold run itself. Let the kid have a little bit of a fever. Let the kid build up some immunities.
Some of these parents that are real strict, some organic this and healthy that and stuff, they're not getting anything for their kids to build up their immune system, you know what I mean?
Go eat some dirt.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Eat some wild honey, you know what I mean?
I really think some of these moms that decided it ain't better than the doctors at the World Health Organization, they decided not to get mumps and measles and rubella shots for their kids. And then they let the kid get the disease and put him in a school.
Sure.
And the thing's airborne for 16 hours after you get it or whatever, and give them to every other kid at school that doesn't have any immunity. And then they have an epidemic in some of these states now of measles, where the kids have to stay home now and stuff like that.
The only hope we have in these last days, as bad as things are, it says, "Sin will abound, but much more will my grace abound." So we've got to run to the grace of God to find that shelter from, because sin is running rampant in this society. I mean, you can see it in every walk of life. You know, does that mean we give up and stop? No, absolutely not. We're going to occupy till he comes. That's our orders. That's our marching orders. Those ain't changed. They're not going to change. So let's just do what we know to do. Roll up our sleeves, get at it, and know God's. I mean, if you wanted to do anything in your life, business-wise, I don't know, just anything desire you had, and you knew God was behind you, you couldn't fail, would anything stop you? Well, he gave us his greatest commandment, go into all the world and preach God, and he's behind us, we can't fail. Why aren't we all out there doing it more than we do? Really. We can't fail.
He's in us now, he can't. Why don't we say what I'm saying about no diseases, if we had called the cure and Jesus gave him Jesus, it wouldn't be so much if don't take that stuff, because that love is going to overrule, override that law.
Look how bad society has deteriorated since the 60s when they first took the Bible and prayer out of school. I mean, if you've ever seen a graph of the number one thing in public schools was the problem was talking in class and chewing gum. Mm-hmm. Prior to taking the Bible and prayer out of school. Today, it's rape and murder. Tell me that is not because we didn't keep the Bible and prayer in school. I argue with anybody that wants to argue, and you can't argue those things, but discuss. No. Will it ever be put back in? It may be, but I doubt it.
When Jesus
comes. Probably not in our lives.
That's it.
Well, there's a new heaven, a new earth coming. You know, but...
Well, there's a thousand-year reign before that.
Yeah. Let me read this to you from the book of James.
And,
consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. I love that passage. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. Endurance is just a way to run this race that you won't quit.
Yep.
And let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. And I think of this often because how do I become perfect and complete? Have I learned to trust and obey? Like the hymn says, for there's no other way but to be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey. I wish there was another way. My way. Okay? Everybody like their own way, you know? But your own way has got in so much trouble that you're looking
you
for another
do
way.
Is write the book of Andre and put it right before Revelation.
That's it, man. I get my feathers out, strutting rooster. Yeah! And so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. How do you lack in nothing? When you know that God then has supplied your every need. Now you start to learn that you have all things that pertain to life and godliness. How? In Christ Jesus.
All figured it out. And I have learned in all things, whether amazing or bad. That's one of the secrets right there.
He got his took his beat.
Yeah.
You know, when you praise God that you were worthy to be beat for the gospel's sake, you know.
Not a joke.
Yeah, no. If you suffer for doing right, great is your reward.
Wow.
But we often don't, do we?
No.
We suffer for doing wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, that guy doesn't pull you over because you're doing, 30 miles an hour.
No.
Pulls you over. Pulls you over because you're so handsome.
Yeah.
And he wants to talk to you and give you a little piece of paper.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Man, I didn't know that car could go that fast. Can I get your autograph?
I receive your rebuke. I'll tell it to the judge. Well, aren't you glad God is merciful? I mean, every one of us, around the table,
Are you guilty?
That right is still not.
And the love of God. And that's what, you know, I've been going to the beach and I watched the sunset last night, no sunset. And they have a guitar playing on the beach. And I pray before I go, I say, Lord, can you give me somebody to talk to? And 2 days ago, I talked to Kathy for about an hour. Kathy was she's a married woman. She's here with her 15-year-old and 17-year-old kids who are visiting her former husband, who used to be here. And, you know, 15 and 17 years later, he's still verbally abusing everything around them and accusing these kids. Now, I had two kids from a former marriage, and I know my first wife had turned the heart of my kids against me. And my old pastor used to say, don't worry, truth will come out. 25 years later, are you willing to wait for the answer to that prayer? 25 years.
Blink of an eye.
Not when you're going through it. And you know
right.
that
right.
to be true, yes. right? And so I she's an ex-Marine. Come on. And she made it through boot camp. She made it through being a Marine. She was a paperwork administrator. She goes, because, you know, women back then, they didn't put them in combat because, well, they'd end up pregnant, you know. And so, but the thing was that she had to come to Florida to try to reconcile her kids to her former husband, who was verbally abusing the situation. What do you do? She's a believer. Her faith was weak. And I just encourage her in the things of God, because the Bible tells us that I will save you and your family. The hardest part of that is waiting. There ain't nobody around this table that's very good at waiting. You know? Maybe even the
waitress.
But she's at least getting paid. And I said, you know, we need to pray, and I encourage her to pray and believe God's word. And I spoke. I said, I want you to go through the Bible and look every promise up that says in Christ Jesus. Because all these promises that are given are always in Christ Jesus. It's not in Andre. It's in Christ Jesus. So as I pray and ask in Christ Jesus, I have the power. I don't have the power in myself. It's in the flesh. It's in the spirit that we have the fruits of the spirit. So you're praying for patience, and you're in the flesh, you'll never get it. Now you're praying in the spirit, you'll get it. Because it's not. Patience is not carnal. It's spiritual.
Would you say that's acquired by faith? Sometimes it's like after doing all to stand. And in that standing period, that's really the trial of your faith.
That's the exercise. You know, like.
And then some didn't see it till they were on the other side. So really the thing is, though he slay me, or though I don't see the results, His word is true, whether I ever see it or not.
Right.
And so I'm at the place that a lot of this stuff is not going to be. I haven't seen mine same way with you, 36 years. So a lot of that I have to fight the enemy by saying, you know, I will walk with my son and daughter on the streets of gold. Whether I feel it, whether they call me, whether I get any, because basically I'm such a, I have to have immediate reinforcement. And then I give up. I thank God for you guys and stay steady and say, well, hang on to him until he gets to that period. And say that the promises of God are true in Christ on the throne in heaven. But I'm still trying to work after 47 years through the faith on this earth. As John Thielman, you remember John?
Oh, yeah.
He'd say prayer, he'd say, as it is in heaven, on earth, as it is in heaven. And then I was with Vineyard for a bit, and they believe heaven is here, you know, in a way, that promises should be here. They're trying to make this earth like heaven. That got me off that. But where am I going with the statement? To be still. To be still. And sometimes I don't see you. You know, God, am I really in you? You know? I mean, you smile, whatever. I call you, you don't see any fruit. And so sometimes I have to just, I saw something this morning, and it said, sometimes you're alone. Now, you might go, yeah, well, this is going on 25 years of this. And sometimes you are alone because he wants me to be with him. I think, how much do I have to read my Bible? How much do I have to try to be in fellowship or whatever? And I'm seeing in the last days there's going to be a great fall in the way because we are so immediately reinforced. See? And I'm going to make this statement, whether you like it or not, but I don't evangelize very much because I don't want to have kids that I can't take care of. I believe I should be in the geriatrics and counseling people my age, and just being a friend. We used to go to William, that's why I was asking about William and Mary and stuff.
Yes.
And I did a haven of rest, but after a bit I'm realizing that basically the ministry was for me. He's pumping blood in me and saying, but I want to be like Christ today.
That's what I
read. I'm realizing I'm kind of faded away from being the true ambassador of love. Right? And that's helpful to me. And I'm going to miss it even. And I'm Mahoney. I'm saying, why would I want to? I have a guy who said, I know Mahoney. Paul Tate. I said, I don't know what's recorded. He wanted to come to the breakfast. I said, I don't know. You know, you're kind of, you don't like to smoke like that. You know, because he lived such a counter lifestyle, but he still wanted to see you. And I'm thinking, what should I do? And I've forgotten. Come on. Let the Holy Spirit, the guy who wants a free breakfast, let the Holy Spirit, even though I'm not quite in agreement with you. Are you following me? It's like I have lost the perspective of what you just said. Just being this, because I was going to leave, and I came back in. And the perspective is, I'm trying to survive, so I've forgotten that my life is Christ. And now that's easy. But sometimes you think about it, you don't want to say. Sometimes you're all alone. Where's my kids again? And so because of the humanness in it, sometimes we have to grab a hold of people because you've got the faith that they don't.